Rural Focus, around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Hello. Yes, here we go. Another Rural Focus podcast. Of course, looking at everything that is agriculture and agribusiness issues affecting rural communities, not just here in WA, but right across Australia. And coming up on today's Rural Focus podcast, we'll catch up with Kelly from The Countryman. Also, too, we'll catch up with Roger Hitchcock. He is from Rural Aid Australia. You may remember a few years ago they did the big hay run. Did very well, so we'll find out and see how Rural Aid Australia are going. Chris Hartley, not too far away from West Coast Livestock. He'll bring us an update on the Katanning sheep sale, but right now, time to catch up with Steve Thomas, MLC. Steve, hello to you, mate. And, well, today, speaking about the buoying up sale yards.
Good morning, Troy. Good morning to Western Australia.
Yeah, now, you say that the building for a new state-funded livestock sale yard in buoying up should be happening.
Absolutely. In fact, Troy, it should have happened years ago. I mean, we have this thing called the Regional Sale Yard Strategy, which all sides of politics supported almost 20 years ago.
Yep.
And that called for the replacement of the Midland Sale Yards at Mushe, the replacement of the Katanning Sale Yards, the upgrading of the Mount Barker Yards, and the replacement of Buoyen Up. And governments have done all of those things except the last, and Buoyen Up has just missed out. So it is beyond time that these sale yards got built. But there has, Troy, there's been a bit of a movement. There was a stoppage in place where the ACCC was asked to examine whether it was anti-competitive because the big agents who own, well, don't own, but they operate the sale yards and invest in the sale yards to the exclusion of a couple of the smaller agents have an advantage. Now, the ACCC has said that's not an issue. They're not going to investigate it. And so we can now go forward with some sort of solution.
Get me if I'm right or wrong here, mate, but the Shire of Capel, that's Crown land vested in them, isn't it?
Well, it is. So it's state government land vested in the Shire of Capel as long as it's a sale yard. So the Shire of Capel will consider an extension of that lease this week, I think, so at their next council meeting.
Yep.
Now, what we're looking for is an extension. My preference is an extension of 10 years.
Mm.
So that we have a time to build an alternative, not that far away from the current site, but outside of town. I think the best outcome would be a 10-year extension. The government, of course, wants a 10-year or longer extension.
Mm.
And if you go too long, it simply makes it difficult to force the government to invest. 10 years would be an appropriate period.
What would be the main reasons, or maybe the major reasons, that they need a rebuild?
Because they just don't meet the standards these days.
Okay.
The animal welfare standards, the safety standards. This is a very old set of yards, Troy.
Okay.
And we've known for years that they're not up to scratch. Now, the current operators, WA livestock operators, they have invested millions to upgrade them to a point where they're still usable, but it's not a long-term solution. Now, if they get a 10-year lease, I suspect that they'll need to invest millions more just to keep this set of yards up to scratch. And that's only a short-term solution. The only long-term solution is for government to step up and build the replacement. You know, let's finish the regional sale yard strategy. We all believed in it 20 years ago. Let's finally deliver it.
Now, there was a big day in Parliament yesterday, mate. Your thoughts on the electoral reform?
Well, we got it through the upper house. The Labor Party obviously has the numbers. And so last night, or this morning at about 1:45, the government did a final vote to get this piece of legislation through. And it's devastating for regional communities. So, Troy, the issue here is, what does a member of Parliament do, and what's their role?
Mm.
And if you believe it's simply to receive votes and look after a political party, you would agree with the Labor Party that it doesn't matter where they come from, and it doesn't matter whether there's any left in the regions. But if you believe that a member of parliament is there to serve the community, to look after the interests of that community, to protect its people, then you would be opposed to what the Labor Party have finally achieved. This has been their goal for 120 years, strip regional representation. They finally achieved it last night, and it's a devastating day for regional communities in this state.
So pretty much all regional electors really going to just come down to one city one.
So basically, there'll be one electorate across the entire state.
Yeah.
It'll elect 37 members. Now, the Labor Party's argument is that three quarters of the population lives in Perth, whereas in the current system, half of the upper house MPs are elected in the regions. The other half come from Perth. So you have to assume that if that balances out based on the numbers, we will lose half of our country MPs. So a quarter of the upper house MPs will probably shift. We'll lose 8 or 9 seats out of the regions into Perth. And the problem with that, of course, is that it's all about the services and the facilities that you get in regional areas. I don't know anybody in a regional area who suggests that because we've had vote waiting, their services and their facilities are better than metropolitan Perth. I mean, we don't compete. Our health services aren't as good. Our schools aren't as well invested. I mean, our roads aren't as good as metropolitan Perth. And that's because that political will exists around representation. Shattering that representation will make the situation much, much worse for regional communities, regional families, regional businesses, the whole works.
Dark days coming for regional WA, mate.
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's a very poor outcome. I'm sure that the Labor Party is toasting its success, its victory over, you know, this has been 120 years of ambition into this policy, but for every glass of champagne the Labor Party is celebrating with, there'll be bitter tears in regional Western Australia as our facilities, our services, and our communities decline further because of that lack of representation.
Anything else from you this morning, mate?
I think that was that's the timing's about right. I think we've done pretty well, my friend.
All right. Yeah, no, plenty of things happening in State Parliament at the moment. Mate, thanks for your time today. We'll chat again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
It is Troy with today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app. And it's time right now to catch up with Chris Hartley from West Coast Livestock. Catching up with Chris right now about yesterday's Katanning sheep sale. Hello there to you, Chris. How did all things go there yesterday?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. So I'll jump straight into it. So there was agents yarded approximately 12,500 sheep and lambs at Katanning this week. Relatively small yarding for this time of the year. Ewe mutton and crossbred lambs made up the majority of the yarding. Values over all categories did remain similar. The best trade and heavy new season lambs sold from 160 to 180. The lighter trade from 140 to 160. And the very light store lambs, 100 to 140. These are mostly crossbreds. The best of the heavy processing mutton sold from 150 to 180. This is on a shorn basis, of course. The heavy boning ewes, 130 to 150. And the very light ewes over a pretty wide range, depending on quality, of $80 to $120. The heavy wethers sold mostly to processors, as per usual, at 150 to 180. While the lighter categories were purchased by graziers and lightweight processors at 120 to 150. The best processing rams sold from 80 to 120, and the very light rams sold from 40 to 80, and that's it. Short but sweet from Katanning there for you, Troy.
Nice to see that the graziers are still buying, mate.
Yes, no, good. There's plenty of feed around, now probably some good buying opportunities there at this time of the year for some areas where they've got a bit of feed and can top them up or get a bit of weight on them. But, no, the market's pretty good overall. Bit light for this time of the year, which is a bit unusual, but can't quite put the finger on it, whether they're still being held on farm with the extra feed around or whether blokes have just jumped into those headers and started going. So,
probably. All right, mate, I know you've got a busy day ahead. Hey, take care out and about today, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Good talking to you, Troy. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Being a Thursday, of course, the countryman is out. The lovely Kelly is on the phone with me this morning. Morning, Kel.
Good morning, Troy. How are you today?
Not too bad. Now, for those who haven't read the countryman as yet, maybe they're going to read it over having their lunch today. First up, was a special weekend in Meriden last weekend.
It really was, Troy. We've got a beautiful story in today's paper about the Meriden community rallying together to help one of their own. Geordie Lynch, who was in his mid-30s, was killed in a tragic farm accident a few weeks ago. And on the weekend, more than 100 people got together in Meriden to help harvest his family's crops. Huge showing of support, mass amount of headers, chaser bins and other bits and pieces of equipment. Got some beautiful photos from the day. Have spoken to family and friends who organised the event. Really great story in today's Countryman.
Yeah, so read about that. Alana McTiernan.
Alana's been doing some pretty interesting things again, Troy. I feel like every few weeks we have a story about Alana going off script, which is what we understand that she did at the AAAC conference in Perth last Friday. Now, at that conference, Alana told farmers that they should consider giving up 20% of their farmland and instead plant trees on that land. Now, I'm not quite sure how she crunched the numbers, but she told farmers that they wouldn't lose any profitability from this. And she's also come up with the idea that the birds and the bees or birds and insects attracted to these vegetation strips could do what farmers have been paying chemical companies for years. Very interesting piece. We've spoken to WA Farmers and the PGA to find out what they think about these comments, and they've got some pretty interesting words about what she has said.
Where would we be without Alana McTiernan? But anyway, and also in today's paper, you've got a story on a very special investigation.
We do, Troy. So our new livestock reporter, Adam Paulson, who's been with us for a couple of months now, has done a deep dive into 10 years of ESCAS, which many people would have heard the name, but it stands for Exporter Supply Chain Assurance System. And it's basically the program that was put in place after the 2011 live export ban. The whole idea of the program was to improve animal welfare and also to stop a snap ban like that ever happening again. Now, the federal government very quietly released a sort of broad and large-scale review into the scheme a couple of months ago. Adam's really gone through the report, picked out all the really interesting pieces. Basically, it's a review of how this scheme has improved animal welfare, whether it's achieved its outcomes or not. Pretty interesting results in today's Countryman.
Read those stories and a whole heap more. The Countryman, it's out today. Hey, Kel, thanks for your time today. We'll chat again with you next week.
Thank you, Troy.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time right now to speak with Roger Hitchcock. Roger is from Rural Aid Australia. Rog, good morning to you.
Morning, Troy. How are you going? Not bad.
Hey, tell us, what is Rural Aid all about?
Rural Aid is known as one of the most trusted rural charities. It stands with our farmers when farmers need us most. So when we provide critical support to farmers affected by natural disasters, that can be either financial, well-being and fodder assistance. We also offer free counselling, so that's where I come in. But it's not the counselling, you know, where we're sitting on a couch and we're kicking back. It's you know, coming out and having a chat with someone who just wants to have a chat to get something off their chest as well. So, yeah, that's what Rural Aid's about.
So how many counsellors here in WA and how do you operate?
We've got two councils in WA right now. They've just rolled them out recently. And we basically operate by what's known as outreach counselling. So that's where farmers, you know, haven't got time to get off the farm. And then if you're feeling a bit strange and a bit funny inside, you don't really want to drive, you know, in some cases, you know, guys have got to drive 20, 30 Ks into town and go into a building and be seen pulling up and, you know, going and see someone wherever. We will actually go out to the farm itself and we'll actually talk to you wherever they want. I mean, I've sat on swathers, I've sat in shearing sheds, I've sat at the, you know, stood at the farm gate, obviously, wherever they want. I mean, if it's your favourite log with your favourite view, I mean, here, let's sit there. So, yeah, it's just to get that out there, you know, yep.
And what kind of challenges, Rog, are people coming to you with at the moment?
It can be all sorts of challenges. I mean, it can be a bit of parenting support, strengthening family relationships, a bit of grief and loss, managing stress, anxiety, depression, or just, you know, building up a bit of mental resilience after the aftermath of natural disasters, which we also will tag on to with the district emergency services people and just be there for the farmers. We're just starting to get started over here. So, you know, we are really interested in any of the little communities out there in towns that have got a program going or they want a hand to get one going or they just want us to come along and support as well. So we're also out there to build up that resilience, which is already there.
Some people might know Rural Aid from a couple of years ago when you did the big... Was it a big hay run?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, originally it's the Buy a Bale program and the big hay runs that went over. And a huge thank you to all these WA farmers that put the hay on the back of the trucks and sent it over east. And it was amazing. I mean, that was just something that just absolutely amazed me. And it just proves the resilience is out there, you know. Yeah. The resilience is there. We've just got to move that resilience across to, hey, you know, your mate's not acting or feeling too well, you know, I should just duck over there and have a cup of tea with him and see how he's going.
It's always good to catch up and make sure that your mate or your neighbour is going A-OK, especially in times like these.
Yeah, definitely, especially in times like these when we're you know, flat out. So, you know, mum's on the chase of being, you know, the lads or daughters are running the headers and dad's running around like a lunatic and even Pop might be running the truck right now, you know, and then there's the people carting all the livestock around. It's a really busy time and so just remember, well, majority of us in WA are really lucky enough to have a bumper year. There are those guys out there who didn't and so just keep an eye out for them and, you know, just be there for them and that's what I'm here for as well, you know, so, yeah, definitely.
We are chatting with Roger Hitchcock from Rural Aid Australia. Now, before you go this morning, Rog, does Rural Aid provide any other services?
Yeah, look, Rural Aid's got a number of services. We offer things like prepaid visas, bill payments, hay and drinking water, that along the lines of where, you know, all of a sudden you've hit a patch where you just need a hand up. And so if they call a 1300 number, which is 1300-327-634, the people at the other end of the phone will definitely have a chat with them. It's case by case, and it's on the individual needs. So you just have a talk through, and they'll tell you what they can and can't do. Also, they have a group that's called the Farm Army, and that's where Rural Aid just provides a platform online at ruralaid.org.au, where you know, the volunteers will just put their name up saying, look, oh, I'm around, I'm a retired bloke, I'm travelling around, I used to, I'm willing to jump on a machine for you or be in the shed for 3 or 4 hours a day, you know, and then the farmer can just, once he's registered with Rural Aid, which is free and costs nothing, they can go onto that Farm Army site and say, well, look, I'm looking for a person to do whatever, and then it's between the farmer and the volunteer, they organise what they want to do, and we just provide that platform.
And are you seeing, with the worker shortage, I'm sure that you've probably seen a lot of this at the moment, Rog.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, out and about, travelling around, which is a fantastic part of my job, travelling around this state, there's so many jobs up on the board, and so many people you're talking to saying we haven't got people. So you might help. You know, I'm not sure how many registered in WA, but when I've been at Katanning Show, Narragin Show, and recently Bruce Rock, a lot of people very interested in volunteering. You know, a lot of the guys out there were saying, oh, that sounds like a great idea, something to do. So, yeah, definitely.
Supporting farmers and rural communities, Rural Aid Australia. What's the website again there, Rog?
ruralaid.org.au. And really encourage people out there to register. It costs nothing. Once you're registered, it doesn't mean that, you might not need the help now, but you're registered, you're there. It's not going to go away. You do need help with something, or you just want to have a chat about something, done. So you really encourage people just to register with us as well.
Rog, hey, nice to chat to you today, mate, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks very much, Troy. Sounds great. Thank you, and all the best, everyone.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time right now to catch up with Tom Mayfield from ADM Training. Morning, Tom.
Morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. Well, busy for you guys.
Certainly is, mate. Into full swing now, that's for sure.
And I suppose it's nice to see the wheat values rally just as harvest gets into full swing.
That's right, Troy, yeah. So cash prices this week in WA moved above $400 APWM for the first time for the 21-22 season. So that's on the back of tight global supplies and some strong demand, which saw many international exchange futures punch up to multi-year highs. The December Chicago wheat, for instance, is trading above 800 US cents a bushel for the first time since 2012. However, the US dollar is surging in value, and low domestic stocks there has US exports a bit limited. So markets did pull back a little bit over the last few days with some selling and profit taking, but it remains not far off those highs.
The global carryouts, mate, the stocks there at their lowest seen for what? More than a decade.
Yeah, that's right, mate. So wheat carryout is sitting at just under 276 million tonnes. As per the latest WASDE report, that's down from around 288 million tonnes for the 2021 season. So this is mainly due to poor weather into the winter crop areas of the Northern Hemisphere. We're also seeing, the Russian ag export taxes, which are worth around $75 a tonne, which is pricing them out of most destinations and keeping the market on edge a bit. So, that's combined with the record high fertiliser prices, which are probably going to have a big impact on the coming crop next year.
And so despite the flat prices in Australia improving, the basis levels, mate, at historic lows.
Yeah, that's right, Troy. So unfortunately, with a national wheat crop forecasted to be around 31.5 million tonnes this year, and that's second only to last year's record crop of about 33 million tonnes, our basis has certainly taken a hit. That's mostly due to limits around elevation capacity. Australian wheat, therefore, is the cheapest in the world. There's pretty solid margins available on canola and barley, which has left some of our wheat export customers a bit short and competing for dwindling front-end availability, pushing them to look to other origins, such as Argentina or even India for some of the Philippine buyers.
All right. Now, Tom, we saw a large amount of rain across the East Coast last week, even more coming over the next week. What's the likely impact with all this rain on the East Coast?
Yeah, so, while there was significant rainfall across Queensland and New South Wales, thankfully the totals weren't quite as catastrophic as what had been on the forecast in the days prior. So it's expected there will be quality issues, as there was plenty of paddocks unharvested. And some early results indicate issues with falling numbers and sprouted grain, as you'd expect. But to what extent the crop sees issues will not really be fully known for another couple of days once those headers get rolling again. But with those anticipated downgrades, on top of the WA crop delivered so far, struggling quite a lot with low protein. We have seen the spreads to lower grades widen quite significantly over the past 7 days. Kwinana ASW1, for example, the spreads are blown out to about less 65 below APW1, and that was only $30 a week ago.
Now, mate, and also before you go, it looks like that the canola bids here in WA have been pretty choppy over the past week.
Yeah, they have, Troy. Bids from marketers have been a bit thin lately as growers have been looking to sell tonnes straight off the header. So with limited nearby shipping options, as I mentioned earlier, buyers have backed away on occasion. Mm. So fundamentally, not a lot has changed in terms of export demand. The February Matif contract at 703 euros a tonne is only a little shy of the recent record highs. But, you know, with a record WA and national crop now hitting the bin, exporters are not very keen to take, you know, much of a long position at the moment.
Now, mate, if people are wanting to know more with the team there at ADM Trading, can they give you a buzz?
They certainly can, Troy. They can call us on 1300 123 236 or visit admgrain.com.au.
Tom, thanks for your time today, mate.
No dramas, Troy. Thanks for having me.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
From Nutrient, good morning, Mark Warren.
Yeah, morning, Troy. Morning, listeners.
Mate, numbers down a little bit yesterday at Katanning?
Yeah, it was funny enough. It was exactly 5,000 less than we had week before. So that doesn't happen very often. But yeah, so as I said, 5,000 less, so a bit over 11,000 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, the quality probably not quite as good as the previous week, but yeah, there's still some very good sheep there. I think the top end of the ewe mutton made about $200 or just a tad over. So majority of mutton sales, heavy mutton sales, were 160 to 180. So that market was pretty much unchanged, but there wasn't the numbers there the previous week. But a lot of crossbred lambs, store lambs, and killing lambs there yesterday, which sold extremely well. A lot of those lighter store lambs, you know, 34 to 42 or 3 kilo, average 38 or 9, you know, they're making $130 to $140, so they're selling really, really well. And plenty of inquiry for those. So, yeah, look, overall, the market was pretty much the same as the previous week, but probably just lacked a little bit of weight. But overall, the inquiry was really strong and still getting a few graziers there trying to buy some stores as well. But, yeah, they're selling really well. So, but overall, yeah, no, the job was really good. And, yeah, it'll keep ticking along for 3 or 4 weeks. And then, obviously, harvest will be in full swing. It's all bit slow at the moment, but and the numbers will really, really come off towards the end of the year. So we've got that out of the way, and then we'll progress into our ewe sale on Friday, being tomorrow.
Yep.
We got another ewe sale in Katanning starting at 1 o'clock. So I think we yard about 9,000 sheep total, which will be some weather lambs and ewe lambs, and the rest will be ewes. We've got a couple of dispersals. The Bradshaw family from Tambla, they've got all their sheep in their dispersal after selling their farm. So there'll be some good sheep there. But overall, yeah, 1 o'clock start at Katanning to buy some quality ewes.
All right. So still some busy times ahead for the team there at Nutrient, mate.
Yeah, no, always got something to do, Troy. So I can see the Bremer River in January. And I'll be looking forward to getting the chinny out and having a spell for a couple of weeks, but still got a bit to go yet. But
bit of hard work before January, mate.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, mate, know you're busy. Hey, thanks for your time today. We'll chat again next week.
Thanks, Troy.
And that is it for today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast. Hey, thanks for joining us. If it's agribusiness and it's happening right now across WA or happening right across Australia, you'll hear it right here on the Listener app, and we'll have another edition of the Rural Focus podcast for you very soon. And don't forget, too, you can also hear it on Triple M weekday mornings from 9 a.m. I look forward to having your company again very soon, right here, a part of the Rural Focus podcast.